Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome to 888 Holdings half-year presentation. As always, I have with me today Aviad Kabrein, our CFO, and Itai Freiberger, our COO. I would like to start off by making a very small and brief introduction into the operation, and then I'll hand over to Aviad, who will expand on the numbers. And also then Aviad will hand over to Itai, who will fill any gaps in regards to development operational focus of the business. First of all, I would like to start off with a summary of the numbers. We are delighted with the numbers for the first half of 2012. Revenue up 21% on the same period last year, and 5% up against an excellent half two in 2011. It showed the highest level of revenue in the history of 888. Gross margins held up well at 81.5% compared to last year, even after incurring $4.1 million additional dollars of gaming duty in Italy and Spain. We have continued to invest in our business, and marketing is one of the areas we have employed more funds. The company committed an additional $12 million to marketing and yet still achieved a respectable ratio of 32%, slightly ahead of that last year of 31%. But don't forget, that includes the new territories, new markets. Overall, the net margin achieved was 19.3%, in line with that of H2 of 2011 and above that achieved for the full year of 2011, 16.7%. Most importantly, we have delivered an EBITDA of $36 million. That's 81% increase on last year and marginally ahead of H2 in 2011. At the half year, we had $69 million of cash, of which $23 million is corporate, and is after paying $9.5 million of back tax to the Spanish government, and $36 million for the final payment of Wink. The culmination of a great set of results and a strong cash generation, we have decided to reinstate the dividend and have declared an interim dividend of 2.5 cents. I'd now like to run through very quickly some product overview. At the beginning of 2012, we launched Casino 50, our new casino front end. This is revolutionary in terms of online get casinos, as it is multi-software platformed, delivering a much more exciting and interactive experience to our customers. It has been received well by our customer base, and we are now beginning to see fruits of our labour as revenues and FTDs start to pick up. Within our technology infrastructure, we have created a game studio designed to develop our own in-house slots. To date, we have launched six slots, which are homebred, of which Dinosaurs is by far the most popular. We are aware that the contribution that these make in terms of the overall slot revenue is insignificant, but it demonstrates the company's desire to distance itself from other operators and become a unique offer. Our poker business continues to grow, with record-breaking revenues and a 90% increase in active players compared to last year. We continue to be ranked fourth in the top 10 of the global liquidity by the independent agency Poker Scout. This product group is our star performer, and we will employ additional funds to develop the platform and create variation of games available to our customers. The bingo sector remains challenging, and the market has become more competitive. However, despite this, we are holding our own against some aggressive competition and still remain the largest network in the UK. We continue to drive this offering and integrate the platform into the company's back office, allowing all the benefits of that to flow through to the sector. Our sports offer remains an important part of our product suite and one which continues to offer opportunities. We are working closely with our partners to ensure our offer is competitive and has the reach of comparable products. Revenues are up year on year, and this area continues to be an effective customer acquisition medium. In Dragonfish, we have finished the rationalisation of smaller, unprofitable licensees, and hence revenue is down, but not by very much. We remain committed to the B2B business and are concentrating efforts in attracting large-scale, similar-minded clients to our platform. We have signed 6 new bingo skins in the last 6 months. All have contracts which deliver the company guaranteed minimums with potential revenue upsides. In terms of the mobile market, mobile is becoming recognized as a significant revenue and customer acquisition generator. The company has a devoted team concentrating on mobile applications, and to date has all product groups, with the exception of Bingo, on both Apple and Android for tablets and smartphones. All applications are witnessing growth in usage, and we are confident that this medium will be earnings enhancing. I'd like to go on to regulated markets. As we have said in the past, we will focus on regulated markets. And a fair amount has happened over the last 6 months in 2012. Firstly, we saw the opening of the Spanish market, albeit 3 months later than was planned. We had adapted the software ahead of licensing, and after paying the back tax, we were granted our license. With a well-executed migration plan and aggressive marketing strategy, we had great success in this market, being the second largest poker network at a share double that of our nearest rival, even though we launched without a sports book. Furthermore, the revenue generated since regulation is more than double that pre-regulation, even with the deduction of gaming duty. We are encouraged by this market and will invest in order to build significant business. The Italian market has also proved to be lucrative. We launched it in quarter three 2011 as a casino only, not having entered the poker market years earlier. The launch here was different to Spain insofar that we had to close the .com and open the IT site from scratch. This was a successful launch, and we have invested cautiously in marketing. The last 6 months have seen a level of active players almost double and our bets up by 70%. We are on track in Italy and encouraged at the regulator's decision to allow slots in December this year. Furthermore, with the success of the Spanish poker, we are adapting our poker software and we will launch this in the second half year in Italy. And lastly, we have been active in the US. Our objective here is to become one, if not the largest provider of online operations and services in this market. We have a three-pronged strategy. A business-to-business strategy, where we are platform, software and operator providers taking a revenue share. Strategic alliance with a supplier, which allows us to tap into the second-grade casinos. And most importantly, a strong B2C offer where we bring all of 888's talents and expertise to bear on penetrating this market. In terms of contracts signed to date, CIE, Caesars Interactive Entertainment, is our B2B customer, where we have a traditional B2B revenue share operation where we supply the technology and the services and they supply their expertise and funds on marketing. WMS, which is one of the world's largest slot and games design operator with in excess of 250 second and tertiary casino customers, we see them giving the sales service to our technology and being a sub-consolidator. And lastly, our B2C deal is still in formation. We're a long way down, but we'll not actually sign any contracts until we're happy with that facility. We have just started the licensing accreditation process with the Nevada Gaming Control Board inspectors. In fact, it started this week with their visit to Gibraltar. This process is likely to take until the end of the year. When it's successful, we will be granted one of the first IGSP licenses in America. We are well positioned here and have a great foundation for the future. At this time, we have in excess of 50% of our revenue coming from regulated markets, and we see this route as the one leading to show the industry as a grown-up industry. Just quickly, briefly, like to update you with current trading. Firstly, the revenues for July and August are running circa 5% ahead of the same period last year. However, I don't want you to forget that at this meeting last year, we reported that record revenues were actually achieved in August and then again beaten in September. And all of this was ahead of something we were very proud of. We have now beaten that, and we're 5% ahead and feel, again, very, very happy with the level of increase. Trading during the Olympics was very much in line with our expectations, and we saw revenue trends revert to traditional seasonality. As to the second half, we will look to invest in the future. The mobile medium, which is proving to be very successful, will have further investment with quality apps building businesses. Currently, our sports app has seen us build almost 20% of our revenues through both tablets and smartphones. Further apps and Android facilities will be developed, not only for the UK, but for other regulated markets. And as I said earlier, we will invest in the Spanish market in order to build an already significant market share. The market was late in opening, and our marketing campaigns will actually have got to switch out of H1 into H2, which will again cause slight pressure on our margins. Furthermore, we have increased the activity and concentration on US regulation and will invest heavily on our software in advance of that market opening up. It should be remembered that because of our three-pronged strategy, only one development needs to be enacted to ensure that all three prongs are regulatory controlled. Overall, we are well pleased and well placed for the future and believe we have the right products, the right back office to sustain growth and build market share, and are confident of delivering further value to our shareholders in the future. I'll hand you over to Aviad.
Thank you, Brian. I'm not going to go through all the revenue numbers. You've seen them before and Brian covered them, but I want us to dwell on three very important numbers. Clearly, EBITDA, $36 million, 81% increase. Think about this for a second. This is more than the entire EBITDA that we've made in 2010. The second number is the margin. Margin has increased from 13% to 19%. And again, this is much, much higher than the margin achieved for the entire last year and the year before. Last but not least, profit before tax reached $30 million against a comparative of either a loss of 16 last year, or even if you neutralize the goodwill write-off, it would be 5. So from $5 million to $30 million, that is a very significant increase. And as Brian mentioned, the cash position is very healthy. We don't have legacies from the past. We've paid the entry fee, if you like, to Spain, and we continue to generate a lot of cash. These are a very healthy set of results, and we are very proud of them. On the P&L statement, first of all, the first two numbers that I want you to concentrate is you can see that on the revenue growth of 21% from 153 to 186, we've achieved an EBITDA growth of 81%. This is operational gearing in its best form, if you like. Operating expenses is very much under control. It grew very slightly from $55 million to $57 million. And that is while gaming taxes increase. I don't think they will increase again at this step change. This is the current level for the current revenue levels from regulated markets. R&D expenses increased, but very slightly, again, very much under control. On the marketing side, whilst we have invested more, additional of $12 million in absolute terms, in terms of a ratio to revenue, it's very well within what we have guided you before. The slight increase is a result of a relatively higher marketing ratio in regulated markets. But again, I don't expect this to change very significantly. It will be a few percentage points up in H2. And finally, admin expenses reduced. And the result of all of this is a very significant margin expansion. In terms of basic EPS, we have increased it very significantly from 1 cent last year to 7.2% this H1. On the next slide, I just wanted to put forward a historical view of our revenue. We've achieved $186 million. And if you like, over 3 years, this was 58% or 8% compound average growth rate, which are very significant numbers. So there is a lot of growth for us and for this sector going forward. In terms of geographical segmentation, we have achieved growth across all our geographical segments. In the UK, 7%, in Europe, 28%, Americas, 66%, and rest of the world, 39%. Importantly, the relative proportion of the UK is now only 43% compared to 49% when it was last year. However, all other geographical segments increase in relative proportion. If you break down the revenue by product, again, we have demonstrated growth almost across all our products, where bingo is flat. The casino grew 20%, the poker stellar growth of 72%, and even the emerging offering grew by 20%. Again, one look at the B2C, which is our main growth engine. Revenue increased by 25%. And if you look 2 years back, it's 49% increase over 2 years, which is very impressive. If you look at the casino again, if you look at the casino over 2 years, our casino revenue increased 41%. Very, very significant number on an already significant number in absolute terms. But there's no ignorance. The poker was the stellar performance over the past 12 months, 72% since H2 last year. And it's virtually doubled itself in 2 years, from $20 million in H1 2010 to $41 million this half. Our revenue in the B2B was flat on last year. We are during a transformational period, but let's not forget, this is a significant business, around $45 million of revenue per year. It's very important for us, and it is the bedrock of future growth, especially into places like the US and others. The next few slides, I will show you some financial and operational metrics in our entries into regulated markets, namely Italy and Spain. In Italy, if you look at our relative market shares, we have increased it from H2 to H1 this year from 4.2% to 5.9%. That is obviously casino. This is based on AMS public numbers. Our GGR grew by 66% over that period compared to the entire Italian market of only 18%. So we're doing a good job in Italy. Well, there's still a lot of work to do. On the next slide, you can see just the breakdown that our casino bets in the Italian regulated market increased 69%, and the active player numbers increased very impressive 95%. The latest success into regulated markets for us is Spain. As you know, we obtained the license in June. On slide 20, what you can see is that our poker liquidity has expanded faster than the industry. If you just compare the end of June to the end of July, our liquidity increased 17% compared to the industry of 6%. So we not only have a very significant market share, and Itai will speak about this, we are also growing quite fast. The next slide, slide 21, will show you a historical view of our poker GGR in this market. We have basically increased it almost sixfold from where it was in July 2010. And we've basically doubled it since the regulation in June. So a very, very significant growth historically and since regulation. And on the next slide, you can see the GGR in Poker Spain after gaming tax. Somebody asked this question at the last conference call. So you can see that in June 2011 is when we started paying tax. It was still the unregulated product, but we started paying tax. So you can see that the GGR after tax suffered. We have since recovered that amount this year. And since we entered into the regulated market in June, we have a double the GGR growth. So basically, our poker business after tax, has doubled its revenue in Spain since regulation, which is a very promising start for us. The next slide, again, just 2 seconds about the EBITDA in absolute terms. Increased from $20 million to $36 million, and margins, you've heard before, from 13 to 19. In terms of marketing, whilst we have increased the absolute term and we've reached $62 million, this is the highest marketing investment we have ever made and a half in 888's history. I can also tell you that the cost per acquisition, the CPA, is actually slightly lower. So we haven't increased how much we paid. We just brought a lot more customers. So our analytics-driven marketing activities continued to deliver in spades. If you take a look at the breakdown of the cost structure, the mirror image of the margins, OPEX reduced from 35.5% of revenue to 30.4%. The R&D reduced from 8.4% to 7.4%. The marketing, you know, increased very slightly. Admin reduced significantly from 9.8% to 6.8%. And all of that, this is despite an increase of 2% in margin, which actually is due to gaming taxes. The chargeback, this is really almost a relic for the past, but people always ask, so we'll just show you that our chargeback ratio actually slightly improved compared to the entire year 2011, from 1% went down to 0.9%, but it's very much under control. The PSPs, the fees we pay payment service providers, increased very slightly. That is actually the sole result of migration our social networks business to fully Facebook platform. We charge it 30%. Previously, we didn't have to pay such high fees. In terms of customer incentives, we slightly changed the metric. We've looked at the entire customer incentives that we give our customers. And you can see on the casino that it's very well under control. It went down from 25% to 23% this half. And all of this, and we achieved 20% revenue growth, which is very successful. On the poker side, we have increased slightly our customer incentives from 18% to 21%. But 2% out of this is really what we needed to do in order to achieve our significant market share in regulated markets. So overall, 72% increase in revenue and a relatively small increase in customer incentives. It's a good trade-off, which we're very happy with. On the balance sheet, borrowing, but sometimes borrowing is good. The entire contingent consideration mountain from last year, $53 million, is gone. There's no debt, and this is a very healthy balance sheet. Last but not least, the cash flow statement. We've generated net cash from operating activities of $33 million. Again, we're converting almost the entire EBITDA into net cash. What we've done with the cash, we've paid our legacy acquisition at the amount of $36 million. Some CapEx, which is required mainly into regulated markets and to build up our US business. And that's basically it. Over to you, Itai.
Thank you. I'll just tell you, and we'll do it. Hi, everyone. I want to share with you today some of the reasons why we've been so successful this first half. I will go over some of our operational activities and share more about what we plan going forward. We are a unique operator in the industry. We have our own technology team, our own marketing agency working together. It allows us to decide where we want to invest and develop our product in line with our marketing strategy. Our industry is going regulated. This represents a lot of challenges, but also amazing opportunity for our business. We invested a lot of effort in penetrating regulated market. It requires a lot of attention on the product and the marketing, and perhaps most critical part is making them work together. We have an opportunity here to leverage our unique position and drive the business with very powerful analytical model, proprietary to 888 with its technology and marketing. Operationally, we are able to carry a lot more with our existing infrastructure and product portfolio. Every time that we launch a new product on our regulation, it's built on top of our proven platform, allowing us to extract more of our investment and take advantage of what we believe is a very powerful tool in online gaming. In fact, since we provide our own technology, penetrating new markets is incremental to our current business. We need to keep investing in our technology as we can leverage into multi-regulation, multi-product, and multi-platforms. We also see that superior B2C performance attracts interesting B2B opportunities for Dragonfish, our B2B arm. In regulated markets, we are very proud in the work we've done. I think that the result speaks for themselves, that we were able to increase our market share in regulated markets and grow the business. In my view, there are a few key elements in making regulated work, and they are embedded in the way that we operate as a business. Our state-of-the-art product portfolio, which includes both front-end and back-end applications. The new marketing strategy we take per market. We actually align our marketing and use a different marketing strategy in every market that we penetrate. And a very well-planned and organized migration process and methodologies that allows us to actually extract more value out of our existing customer base. The sum of all parts is larger. In Italy, Arcasino is first in non-lotteries operators with a lower share of voice, driving marketing investment down, but still maintaining a very high market share. In Spain, we position ourselves as the number two in the market. This is done during the Euro Games, without sport, to make it a little bit more challenging. And we see better trading than our dot-com business produced in the past. Next on the agenda in regulators are slots in Italy, which will be available on, I think, December 3rd. In this chart, taking from PokerStars, you can see how the Spanish local market is evolving and how significant is our position in this market. This is all done through our B2C with no partners to support the liquidity. We are over twice the size of our next bigger competitor and 10 times bigger than the following one. You can click it in. In mobile, we are very excited with this new market evolving under our hands. We've been waiting for years to see the performance we see today. Thanks to the changes in the mobile world, smartphone and tablet naturally drive this market forward, and I think we are just seeing the beginning of a very important segment in our industry. Today, we are pushing the product into all mobile and tablets devices. Android, iOS, smartphones, tablets, we have it all. In sports, 20% of our bets are already coming from mobile, and the growth trend here and in other products are very strong. We naturally plan to continue development in all devices and platform, including HTML5, that will allow us more freedom to work outside the manufacturer's walled gardens. Mobile requires us to redefine our marketing strategy in acquisition and in retention. What works on PC does not necessarily apply for mobile. People consume our products in a different way, and we now learn what is the best way to approach them. A very strong upside that I believe we have is that it's all based on the same platform that powers our traditional product. It also allows us to use all that cool functionalities that we have developed in this new segment as well. Since we do all the development internally, we only need to invest once in the platform and then utilize it on mobile, regulated, PC, etc. On social, we look at the social as part of our product offering. I think it's clear today that social networks are an integrated part of online gaming. We recently integrated our social development team within the product groups. It allows us to share between the social and real money gaming know-how that we have across the organization. Social is becoming part of the customer experience in our traditional world, virtual and real money as well. Investment in social will have significant economic benefits in the future. In the U.S., we established 888 as the number one provider. Technology, product, operation, and marketing makes us very strong in this market. Our three-layer strategy is coming together. We announced a B2B deal with Harrah's and a partnership with WMS. We will also announce a B2C deal that will allow us to utilize our core competency in this market. Again, powered by our current platform, we expect our U.S. poker networks to be very effective, acquiring significant market share. Same tools will be available in our U.S. proposition. We are leveraging existing infrastructure to penetrate the largest gaming market in the world, making it incremental to our current business. The business foundations are now set. We are only waiting for the regulator to allow us to start working. 888 manages a technology marketing company. We control all the required ingredients to our success. We are pushing the envelope with our technology and marketing driven by advanced modeling and analytics. They all feed one another. The fact that we have all three under the same roof makes us very effective, I believe. Our advantage is with our people, skill set, know-how, motivation, and spirit. Unique methodologies and business practices allow us to decide alone where we want to go and where to invest efforts. The best way to see this is come and visit us, and I will be more than happy to arrange such a visit for everyone who didn't participate yet. Thank you very much, Mr. Mattingly.
Well, thank you very much indeed to Aviad and Itai. What I would just like to do is to wrap up and is to say that I think we've had a very, very strong performance in the half year, but we've also had strong performance in the first half last year and also the second half. We've got a very robust cash flow. That robust cash flow allows us to invest in the future, invest in technology and invest in marketing. We have recorded record levels of revenue and we have improved our margins. We've been successful in launching Spain and we're also very, very active in the emerging US market. Altogether, we are still committed to the regulated marketplace as we see that as being the foundation for the future. What's more, we are investing in their infrastructure and our people. All that together means that our business is sustainable and still will see and witness growth going forward. And as a result of that and modelling forward, we're very happy that we're able to declare a return to the dividend list. So I'd like to thank you all very much for your attention and open the floor up to any questions that you may have.
Morning, it's Simon French from Panmure Gordon. Aviad, I think admin expenses were down $2.5 million year on year. Is that the end of the sort of central cost rationalisation programme that you started about 2 years ago, or is there a bit more to come?
We have achieved this result without significant cost cutting on the overheads. Whilst we have been prudent, we haven't had any significant changes to headcount numbers. Actually, quite the contrary. We had to hire more people to develop the US. So I wouldn't read anything into these numbers. There will be fluctuations, but you know, no significant change.
Okay. And then just on the balance sheet, I think there's a further $700,000 of contingent consideration for some B2B assets. I think it said in the statement that you've acquired. Can you just elaborate on that, please?
Yes, it really is a small tail in respect of potential revenue share that we might have to pay in respect of the acquisition of a domain name. It's really negligible.
Okay, and then finally, can you just remind us where you are in Denmark? I think when we last met, you had applied for a license but hadn't been granted one.
Oh, no, we still have the license in Denmark. And we consider that the resource required to adapt the software for Denmark took a lower priority, and at this moment in time, we have yet to launch the Denmark license with the Denmark license.
Thanks very much.
Hi, it's Nick Batt from Peel Hunt. A few questions. I'm just trying to sort of get a better feeling for Spain, because clearly the performance has been quite spectacular. Now, a lot of that's going to come from the fact that you obviously spent more money once the market was open, but I can't believe you've outspent Bwin Party to the amount that you've managed to grow market share. Is it because you, prior to the market opening, you kind of took your foot off the pedal a bit and you've only now sort of adopted the same SEO and the marketing options that you've sort of pursued in the UK? Or is there anything more fundamental to it than that?
I don't think we overspent. To be honest, I think the other way around. Our spending is very surgical, I would say. But the fact, I think, that we have a very good product, the fact that our marketing are very precise, that we have analytics in order to be able to decide exactly where we want to spend our money, makes us a lot more effective. And the migration plan was very well orchestrated. The plan and then how we did it eventually became like a snow cycle. A snowball. That we had a very good migration. A lot of people came in, and then it just picked up and became even bigger. So I don't think we overspent compared to the rest of the market.
Can you just clarify the situation? Because I thought there was some talk in Spain that you weren't allowed to migrate over your .com
at some
customers
point,
to your...
A week before the migration, the Spanish government started changing some of the law, I think, based on the Codera lawsuit that was out there. But I think 3 days before the launch, we were given the green light to do exactly what we did. Everything was done in accordance with the new regulation.
I don't think, Nick, we ever took our foot off the pedal prior to the regulation. We were always consistent with our offer, consistent with our marketing programs in that territory, because, after all, we were paying tax before regulation.
But, I mean, but to grow your market share like that against your competitors, it's quite a quantum leap.
It's better product and better marketing. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And a few other things. Just wondered what your thoughts were on the GameSys Facebook developments, given that there were rumours that you were talking to Facebook about a real gaming. And also, can you just remind me what you said the revenue from regulated territories was? Was it just over 50%, did you think you said?
It's just over 50% is revenue from regulated territories. We're encouraged by the GameSys opportunity with Facebook. We remain actively engaged in conversation with Facebook. I think we can see that there is movement for real play for money in that medium, and I think we are well positioned to do that. We have got nothing firm to say at this moment in time, other than to say that the discussions will continue.
And so sorry, going back to the revenue, so the high 40% comes from unregulated markets.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yes.
And I think I'm right in saying that none of those markets is more than 5% in its own right.
Apart from the UK.
Well, it's regulated.
Regulated. Yeah.
Yeah, so unregulated.
That's correct.
So obviously you've got Germany and Canada.
They're single digit, all of them.
Right. And then finally, just on the point of consumption tax, which is obviously you're going to be asked about at every meeting until 2014 and probably then beyond. Are you actually doing anything in the business at the moment to position it to account for the additional tax that you're likely to pay December 2014?
There are two facets there. The first is that the operational team are looking at ways of mitigating some of the tax burden. Secondly, we are active in government lobbying channels. We have submitted our document to HMRC, and we have a series of meetings arranged. We've already had consultation with HMRC, purely and simply on ensuring that they understand the true impact of the business model and tax on that business model, and ensuring that they understand the ramifications if enforcement is not brought forward. During one of those meetings, it became apparent that they hadn't really understood fully the implications of enforcement. We did actually, however, get them to concede that bonuses and cash match would be allowable against taxation. So that was that, if you like, I think begins to improve the business model post-tax regime in bingo, where we live on incentives. And we will continue to have dialogue with HMRC, but more importantly now, we will continue to have dialogue with DCMS and the Gaming Board Gambling Commission. If, in fact, we have a level playing field, I think everybody will trim back their profit levels, but at least we will be able to cohabit. If we have a grey market, then who knows what's going to happen.
Thanks. Ivor Jones from Numis. You were talking about mobile. What percentage of, say, casino revenue is coming from mobile tablet now or in the first half of this year?
I think today the numbers or the revenues that are coming from mobile is relatively insignificant. This is not great numbers, but the growth trends are very, very strong. And the fact that every time that we continue to develop a new app with a new functionality and using our back office in a way that we never implemented that piece of technology before shows us that the potential there is significant.
Do you have to do something different to go and find a different set of mobile casino customers? Is it different marketing?
It's in different places. I think it is. What we do now is utilize, on our install base, and we are now starting to create new acquisition through new players that will be generated through mobile. So the answer is yes to both. And it's a new market, it's a new world, it's something that we need to explore. It will take us and the industry a very long time, I believe, to grasp and to understand exactly what you need to do there. But yes, we are active everywhere and we're filling the water with the tools that we have available.
And in trying to understand the July-August revenue, and you mentioned some things about it, how much did you take your foot off the marketing? So how much did you reduce marketing spend abnormally because it was an abnormal July and August? And how much will you spend more than normal when you get past the Olympic period?
I don't think we have changed what we planned to do when we planned for this period of year. We actually spent significant amounts of marketing. Clearly, we were not going to compete with some of the bookies on advertising time during the Olympics, where this is their prime time. It made absolutely no sense. But overall, there was no reduction. So,
I would like to sort of add something there and to say that we have not attempted to take our foot off the marketing pedal. We always planned that there was going to be two sporting events and that those sporting events we couldn't compete with some of the bookies. However, we put our foot on the pedal in other mediums. So we've not tried to shore up our EBITDA by spending less.
The B2C deal in the US that you haven't talked about, will it imply significant spending of 888 cash to fund the marketing that would go behind it?
No. No, the arrangement that we will develop, and in fairness, we are quite close to actually developing contractual obligations on both sides. That relationship will have one party as a brand, one party as a financier, and one party as the product and technology provider. And we have made sure in all negotiations that the funds available for launching and into that market are sufficient for our needs.
And are you two of those one parties?
We are one of those one parties.
So if it's somebody else's brand, then isn't it a B2B deal?
No, not necessarily at all.
Would you care to expand?
No. We would prefer to say nothing until such times as we are able to make a full announcement. I think speculation is just dangerous.
That's my job, but... and finally, on sports, you mentioned a couple of times you didn't have sports for the Olympics. It's the vertical that the group doesn't have direct control of. You've talked a lot about how great it is having direct control of everything. What's the strategy on sports?
Sports will be reviewed. We are looking very much at with our partners at ensuring that we are competitive and ensuring that we have the reach of products. We believe it is a great opportunity and we hope that our partner will agree with that. If not, we will have to review the situation.
Do you envisage having a partnership relationship in sports in the medium term?
I think at this moment in time, everything is up for review. We know that our sports opportunity is not at its optimum at this moment in time, and we will need to do something to address that.
Okay, thank you.
Morning, Simon Davis from Canaccord. Two questions. Firstly, on marketing, obviously pushed up as a percentage of revenues in the first half. You implied it will go up further in the second, given increased spending in Spain and Italy. Can you perhaps give us some guidance as to where you think that will pan out H2 and going into 2013? And secondly, on Germany, I see you're the proud owners of a new Schleswig-Holstein license. Can you just talk through what you think the significance of that is, how the German market's going to pan out, and what percentage of revenues Germany currently represents?
On the marketing, I think that we will see an increase in H2, but I don't see it going up by more than 1% on the percentage basis that it is. And I think it should stay at this level next year unless there's a new regulated market opening. That's the general idea. Well, we're not going to let it go out of control. Over time, absolutely, because marketing spend in order to penetrate the market are clearly higher than steady state. They are currently higher in Spain compared to Italy, and they will all come down to traditional core business levels over time. But again, I think it's very well under control. In terms of our sports license in SH, we only got it yesterday. Our sports business in Germany is negligible. We said so in the past. So the federal tax has absolutely almost no impact on us. We're now working with our lawyers exactly what we can do with that and how we can leverage that to our needs. In terms of revenue by country, we don't break it down, but I said Germany is one of the highest ones, but it's a single-digit number.
I think that enhances our position in the regulated markets. We apply for a license as and when a market becomes regulated. I think it's credibility to us that we actually obtained our license. What we will do with that has yet to be decided.
Javier, just going back to the point you made about operational gearing in the first half, how should we think about that through Q3 and into the rest of H2? That sort of 4x multiplier probably won't be as dramatic. Is that fair to say, given the increase in marketing you're guiding to? But then I guess if we think about Q3, you're up 5% and you haven't pressed the button yet, it seems, on increased marketing in Spain and Italy.
I think you're right. I think you have also to consider that we have decided to increase some of our development efforts, mainly towards completing the platform for the US. So there will be slightly higher overheads or development or the combination of these two in H2. And therefore, it's not going to be exactly a replica of H1. If you just want to take H1 at 10% for good measure and assume that's for H2 for like last year, I think that's going to be a dangerous assumption.
But you're confident you'll see EBITDA growth outstrip revenue growth in H2?
I am. And we're very comfortable this year EBITDA will be higher than last year, as we said last time we spoke. And we're very comfortable with consensus. Although there is pressure for the upside. And in time, we'll have to be able to have a conversation about it, but it's premature.
Thanks.
Sorry, can I just follow up to one of Simon's initial questions? It's about the admin number. Now, you said you've not really taken any significant cost out, yet it's 2.5 million less in H1 in a business that's growing. So there must have been something in there that's come out. And also, I mean, you know, shouldn't the admin cost be relatively stable in H2? But you seem to suggest it wouldn't be. It might be going up. Can you just add some more clarity to exactly where we might see the outcome for the year on the admin?
There are some moving parts in admin because there is some labour costs in admin. It's not only buildings. There was some positive impact of FX because some of our shekels has become significantly cheaper compared to last year. So on the significant element of our overheads in Israel, it is slightly cheaper. But that can change. So I wouldn't read too much into it. Admin usually doesn't go down significantly, either stable or goes up. So I think if you're looking for a guidance for H2, it's probably going to be a bit higher than H1.
Right. Thanks.
We've also included in that cost will be the cost of license application for
Absolutely.
Nevada, and that is not cheap. Any other questions, gentlemen? If not, I'd like to thank you very much indeed for giving up your time. I'm delighted with the set of results, and I would be very interested to welcome you along at the year end, where we can report, hopefully, a similar set of results again. Thank you very much indeed.